just very, very briefly. A briefly for me might be 30 minutes. I don't know. But again, what I'm saying tonight is really, I want you to understand that it's this, what might seem like a morning type of a message. But all the week that I had thought that Joe was going to be talking this morning and sharing this morning, so I knew that tonight this is what I would be doing. And I knew that the Lord wanted this tonight. And so I think the reason is because we're going to look at the gifts and functioning of the Spirit of God. I believe that the Lord is going to be sending more and more people into our midst. And as they come in, they're going to be ministered to. They're going to have to be ministered to. And this morning is, I guess, a good example. As everybody came down, nearly the entire, everybody was that was here, everybody just about came down. And I really did, in my heart, and I want you to understand, in my heart, I really do want to touch everybody and minister to everybody. But I really can't. And you know what, I think you understand what I mean. That's just I want to, but I know that I really can't. Not do it right. And it, by the time I got to the last ones, you know, things were a little different. And do you know what I'm trying to say? And as we mature and grow numerically, then people are going to be coming in that's going to have hands laid on them and prayers prayed for them. They're going to have their lives touched. And this is the people that's going to be doing it. You're the ones that are going to have to minister to people. And I know some of you have been reluctant at times to touch people and lay your hands on people because you're not confident in your prayer for them. You're not confident that you'll be doing the right thing or saying the right thing, or that maybe you feel like God won't move through you or whatever. So tonight what I'm going to try to do is show you that we need each other and that each of us have gifts. And that these gifts have to come forth in a body that's going to really minister. That's going to really minister to people. We're all going to have to minister. Now, I have a gift, and the gift was just talked about, how I love the Word of God and how I love to proclaim the Word of God. That's what I love to do. And I love to pray for people. I love to prophesy to people. But as we saw this morning, it's getting to the place now where I really can't. And I really want you to help me in this understanding. So more of what I'm doing tonight is I want it to be a school more than a teaching. I want it to be a teaching, and I want you to understand something. But I really want to activate these things that we have in us already. Like we were talking this morning, it's just kind of a follow-up for the stirring up that happened within us. And in Ephesians chapter 4, this is a very favorite, very, very favorite passage of Scripture to me. And I want to just read verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, I want to just say this. How many of you really believe, that there is a calling that you have been called to do? Let me see your hands. And I want all these people here. Okay, everybody, good. You've understand. Then there's a destiny. There's something that God has called you into the kingdom to do. And there is something that you're called and worthy to walk in. I want you to understand, you are worthy to walk in this calling. I don't care what you've done in the past. I don't care what you'll do in the future, because His gifts and His callings are without repentance. And what He's given you to do, you can do it. Now, we have a mentality in the kingdom of God, because of the teachings and things that we've had, is that we come into His presence. We can minister to people if we've been good enough. If I have prayed this week, if I have read my Bible this week, if I have done these things this week, if I haven't sinned, then maybe I can minister to somebody. Maybe I can come into God's presence. But here's the truth of the Word. The only way. The only way you'll ever enter into the presence of God is by the blood of Jesus and by the rent veil, which is His flesh. That's the only way that you come into His presence. It's not by our works of righteousness. It's by nothing that we have done. I don't care if you haven't prayed all week. You could walk in here and God will give you something to walk over here to somebody and say. Well, if He can say something to you to walk all the way over here to Betty Cooper and say, Betty, bang, God said this. And you may not have had time to pray all week long. And I just want to say that there is a calling that you are worthy to walk in. And that's the callings of God in your life. His callings are without repentance. Now, how many knows? It will be easier if you do pray. It will be easier if you do read the Word of God. And that's what we should be doing. But don't hinge your ministering to people on how good you've been all week. There's a calling. Now, he goes through here and he talks about that there is one body, there's one spirit, and all these things. And in verse 8, well, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. To each one of us. Every one of you are in each one of us. To each one of us, there is the gift given that was to the measure of Christ's gift. How great was Christ's gift? It's without measure. That's what I want us to see. The potential that's right here tonight is without measure. There should be nothing, no disease, no demon, nothing that we shouldn't be able to come against and deliver and manifest a healing for. That's just the way it should be. It's without measure. Verse 8, therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now the expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended into himself also, he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles. Now are all apostles, but are some apostles, and some prophets, are all the prophets, but are some prophets, some evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Now these are the gifts that come forth. These are some things that he has given to the body of Christ. And then we go on in verse 12 for the equipping of the saints. This is why he gave them. Why did he give them? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's what my ministry is all about. Is the equipping of us to do what he's called this church to do. Any one of these fivefold ministries, whether it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, what they're for is to equip the people to minister. And that's really what I want to do tonight. I want to equip you and let you understand that I need you to help me minister to people. If we are truly going to be evangelistic, if we are truly going to see the tremendous harvest that we all want to see, then you know I'm not going to be able to do it all. And the more you can do, the better it's going to be. As people begin to come in, they get ministry from you, and as you're able to touch their lives and minister into their lives, then it's going to free me to do some other things that I need to do, for one thing. But it's also the thing that I really want to emphasize tonight and talk about tonight is it's going to mature you, encourage you. And then you're going to be able to minister to somebody else. And you're going to help this person mature to the place that they can go minister to somebody else. And then the whole body begins to grow and mature and come into what we're supposed to do. Now, that's what we're supposed to be looking at. That's the emphasis, and I'm trying to keep it on that tonight. Now, this is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ until, this is how long these ministry gifts will be here, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, they'll be here until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. How long will we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Until we come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness which belongs unto Christ. Now that's what we've got to understand, is that we are to come unto the measure and the stature of the fullness which belongs unto Christ. Now, did Jesus cast out devils? Okay. Then is it all right if you cast out a devil? And if you do, is it all right then? Can you say that you're coming into the measure of the stature of the fullness which belongs? Did Jesus pray over people? Did he bless children? Did Did he heal sicknesses? Did he just minister to people? And that's what I'm wanting us to see. That's the measure of the fullness which belongs in Christ. That's how he loved people. That's how he ministered to people. I think we have this mystical attitude of what this will be in something so far and unattainable that we'll never get there. What this really means is that we will minister like Jesus Christ ministered. And you say, well, I don't know if I can ever heal anybody by praying for them. How will you ever know unless you try? What if you can? What if you pray for five and one get healed? Is that okay? And that's what I really want us to see, is that I really want to loose you tonight. I want you to be set free tonight. And I want to say it 100 ways if I can, just to release us to when Pastor Thibault allows the people to come up or stand up or however that we do it various ways to be ministered to, that you minister. That you don't sit and wait for just the few that will, but you go and you lay hands and you pray for people and you discern spirits and you begin to really touch their lives. And if we fulfill the prophecies that have been given over this church, and we are moving in that direction, I think we can all begin to see that it's really going to happen. Then we understand that, as the prophecy came a while ago to me, I can't do it. It's impossible for one man to do that. Now, let's read on. That's how long we'll have them until we come into that measure, and that the measure is not something mystical. The measure is ministering like Jesus Christ ministered. As a result, what does this mean? As a result of us coming into the fullness, as a result of the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, as a result of us coming under this measure of stature, the fullness which belongs unto Christ, as a result, what does King James Bible say in 14? Henceforth, as a result of all this, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And then he gives us, I think, three ways here that we're carried away by the trickery of men, by the trickery of men, and by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. I want you to understand that as real apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers begin to mature us, it gets more and more difficult for us to fall into deceit. We become rooted and grounded in the things of God. We understand, and I want to take a minute here, and I want you to understand, people, that it would be very difficult for somebody to come into here and preach a false doctrine to you and you fall for it. Because you have been instructed in the Word of God. You know a lot of Word. It would be very, very difficult for anybody to come in and waylay you. You know a great deal of Word. And the reason that I'm saying this is to say this. I want you to have confidence that when you say something to somebody, that you're telling them the Word of God. And it is just as effective as you saying it to them as it would be for me saying it to them, or Pastor Thibault saying it to them, or Judy saying it to them, or anybody else saying it to them. I want you to understand, you have the Word of God in you. And you're not tossed about anymore. Do you feel that you are? Do you feel that one day you're over here, another day you're over here with your beliefs? Or are you kind of getting rooted and grounded, and you kind of know some things now? And you're kind of in a place now that you're just not tossed about so easily. See, that's what's happening. That's what happens when real ministry ministers in your life. When we really allow ministry to come in and minister to us, then we really do get rooted and grounded. And I'm not talking from just my perspective of being here and you there. I'm talking about me being there and listening to men of God and letting them minister into my life. Real apostles and real prophets and real evangelists and real pastors and teachers, as they ministered into my life, how it rooted and grounded me. And that's what I'm wanting you to see, is that you're no longer tossed about. You are a wordy church. Now I want you to take that word and produce fruit with it. And allow the people to come and then begin to partake. Eat of you. You bring forth the gifts out of your life and minister to these people. And Lord knows they need it. You're not tossed about by winds of doctrine anymore. Verse 14 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to do what? Grow up in some things. In all things. I've taught and preached for all these years about maturing, about growing up. The word teleos, the word maturing, perfection, King James Bible translates it. But coming into a realm of maturity. You see, I guess what I'm saying tonight is, folks, you are maturing. And you really need to be released to minister. And not just released, but do it. We are at a place in our church. A pastor was here this morning who has had some tough times, a young pastor. Him and his wife have been through some tough times. He spoke to me after the church and he said, "This is what I've always wanted. This is the vision that I've always had." And how many of you know that it didn't come easy? I'm wanting you to understand that this body is at a place now where it can really do some ministering to some people. Just as people walk in here and enjoy our praise and our worship, that ministers. But when God gives you a word of the Lord for somebody, you've got to release yourself now and go give it. You've got to understand that you are growing up. Mark, do you believe this body is growing up? And there was a time when I had to cut all the grass at my house because Lance was too little. I had to take out the trash. I had to do everything. But now I don't cut all the grass. I don't take out all the trash. I don't do all those things. There was a time when Judy had to wash all the dishes and clean the whole house. Judy doesn't wash all the dishes anymore. We still wash dishes. She still washes dishes. I seldom wash dishes. I still cut some grass. We still going to minister to people. You know, you hear what I'm saying? I'm still going to minister to people. But what I'm saying is that I really believe that this body has come to a place now where you shouldn't look to me to do all the ministry. And you really need to start stepping out and touching people's lives. Now, there's some things here that I've got underlined that I really want to get to. It says, grow up in all aspects, all things. Things or aspects in my Bible is in italics, which means it's not there. In the original, it means that the things or the aspects, whichever is in your word, is not in the original language. It says, so what he's saying here is, grow up in all unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. Now let me go back and tell you what we've just read. How many sees that every joint supplies there? Now, what every joint does is two things. First of all, it fits together. Secondly of all, it holds it together. Do you see that? It's fitted and held together. What you do in this body is, first of all, you've got a place. You've got something to do. When you're not here, that place isn't filled. And I'm not, again, I'm getting to the place. I don't want this to sound, because you're here, okay? You're here. But when a member of our body isn't here, then there's something that's not being fitted into that body, into this body. Do you see that? Nor is that being held together. The second thing that each of us do is hold this thing together. I don't hold it together by myself. Pastor Tebow doesn't hold it together. Me and him, it takes all of us to hold this thing together. Every one of us is a joint of need. We need you. The one to your right, to your left needs you. The one on this side needs the ones on this side. We need each other so that we can do two things, be fitted together and be held together. I can be going through a bad time and the devil can be coming at me saying, "You need to leave." But then here comes a good brother who's fitted and joined to me and say, "Oh no, it's going to be okay. He held me here. He held this thing together." And some of you have had times like that when you say, "Oh man, that place is crazy. That guy's nuts. I'm leaving." And here comes somebody, "No, don't do that. He's going to be okay." I would ask for a show of hands and how many that's happened to, but I'm not. But you know, that's the truth, isn't it? And we all go through those times, folks. But see, that fitting and holding together is what the body does for each other. So that we come together, that every joint supplies that. I don't care. I don't care what you do or who you are. You fit and hold this body together. I don't care how smart you think you are or how ignorant you think you are. You do at least two things. You fit it and hold it together. Every person here does that. According to the proper working of each individual part. This causes the growth of the body. Now, I want to really get this one. If this body is really going to grow, do we really need to be fitted and joined together and every joint supply a need? If we're really going to grow, I'm not talking just numerically, I'm talking about growing in the realm of maturity, into the realm that we really do something in the kingdom of God. Do we really need to understand that I've got something to do and I really need to do it if this body is going to grow? What I'm trying to do is put a lot of weight on you because I really want you to feel that you're important. Because you know what? You are. I need you. I need every one of you. If this church is going to do what this church is destined to do, every person in this church is necessary. There's not a single one that's not necessary. We need each other so much. And that's what happens to a lot of churches. They never have an understanding of the need for them to be at the body and to function in their gifts and their callings. And therefore, there's no fitting and there's no joining together. And so people get in disarray and the pastor gets angry. And so the pastor leaves. Nobody's there to fit and hold him together. People get dispersed and they go their ways and nothing's there to fit and hold them together. Church down at Rome had that very thing that happened to them just a few months back. Together, had about 40, 50 people. Pastor got discouraged. Nobody there was able to fit and hold him together. Now they're kind of dispersed. They're kind of getting back together, looking maybe to us to help them. But what I'm wanting us to see is that we don't have to suffer those things. We don't have to go through a lot of those things if we will but understand that we fit and hold each other together. We need to understand that. We're fit. We hold each other together. It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And there's that word love again. Pastor Tebow, as he was ministering the song of the Lord to me just now, in that song of the Lord said that I love the Word. You love the Word. You love my Word, is what the Lord said to me. I have the definition of love now of receiving it just as it is. And that's what I do to the Word of God, folks. I just receive it as it is. And if you love the Word of God, you know what? You'll just receive it. You won't try to change it? Because you can't, can you? I mean, we've all tried. Can't change it. But we're growing up in love, which means that as we grow up, we'll be able to receive people just as they are. Won't try to change them. We'll just receive them just as they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, 14. I don't want to go to 12. You know the gifts of the Spirit. I might go to that, but I want 14 right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Alona, how's Mike doing? Good. He's healed. 1 Corinthians 14. Paul has given the spiritual gifts in 12. The necessity of the body functioning because the body can't do without itself. The hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And the foot can't say to the head, I don't need you. He talks about those gifts. And then he comes into 13 and it's love. Because without love, without functioning of the gifts in love, it's just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. The way that Jesus loved people was by ministering through these gifts to people. And then he comes into 14, and in 14 he talks about how they are administered in the body. And he's talking basically about tongues and interpretations and prophecy. And then he comes to this place in verse 26 of chapter 14, and it says this, "What is the outcome then, brethren? when you assemble, two of you have a song. What I'm trying to point out is that when we assemble together, each one of us have got something to give to somebody. Have got something that we can minister someplace. You may not be a prophet, but that doesn't mean that the anointing of a prophet can come upon you, can't come upon you. Even Saul, when he got around the prophets, did what?
Prophesied.
And when you get into this place and the Spirit of God is truly ministering and truly moving amongst us, you will get a word for somebody. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me. How many of you have gotten a word to go and minister to somebody, and this has been recently, and you haven't done it because you were frightened of maybe not doing it right, maybe being out of order, or whatever? How many of you have had that happen to you in this place recently? Let me see the hands. Get them up real high so I can see them. See there? There's a bunch of hands. And see, what I want you to understand is that you can't do that anymore. What you have in your vessel is life. And that individual that you have that word for probably really needs at least your encouragement. I'm going to tell you how to judge it, how to make sure that it is from God, and how to do it in just a second. But he says that each one of you, when you assemble, each one has a psalm. Each one, he's talking about this, everybody's going to have something to do. You have a psalm, have a teaching, have a revelation, have a tongue, have an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Now, how do you know if what you've got is of God? How do you know that if that word that you've got, or that psalm that you have, or if the teaching that you have, or the revelation that you have is really from God? How do you know? It tells you right there. It's for edification. If it's going to go and uplift somebody, go and give it to them. If it's going to build up the body, my goodness, don't stand there or sit there. Go and give it to them. Now, if you think you hear that God's telling you that Linda's got snakes all over her, don't do that. Okay? That's not edifying. Or God said He's going to strike you down. If you don't do this, don't do that. That's not edifying. But if you're going to go and build up the body of Christ, then go, please, and give that gift and minister to that person. They probably need it. And how many of us, we try to smile all the time because, you know, you come in here and we talk about peace and joy so much that if you don't come in here, then we don't think you're saved. You see, so you got to be happy when you come here. So you come in here and all hell's broke loose on your life during the week, and you walk in here and you're hiding it behind this big old smile. And somebody says, you really need to go minister to them. They had a rough week. They don't look like they had a rough week. You go and edify them. I love you. You know, this might be something simple like that. I just love you. God told me to tell you that He's working in the situation. He might not reveal the situation, or He might. God's doing this, and you know, He's going to do something here. He's going to tell you, He's going to give you enough to go and to just bless somebody. And that's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about some mystical thing. Woo! Not talking about that. It's done for edification. I want to look at one more passage in 14, verse 3. And it's specifically here talking about prophecy, but I believe it is a rule of thumb that we can use for any of the gifts that He gives us in 12. Verse 3 of chapter 14. But one who prophesies speaks to men, and what you get from the Spirit to give in this body will be for edification and for exhortation and for consolation. And your Bible may say comfort. For edification and consolation and comfort. Folks, let me tell you something. If you've got that for somebody and you think you'll be out of order if you go get it, then little devils and demons are whispering in your ear because they don't want you to go give that to somebody. You will not be out of order. You will not be corrected by me. Now, if you go to somebody and say, you got snakes all over you, and God's going to strike you down if you don't do this, I'll get after you. Because that's not edifying, exhorting, or comforting. Honey's hearing me now. Okay, I want to make sure that... Okay. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are in chapter 12. These are the gifts of the Spirit, and I want to just read them. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. How many of you feel like that from time to time you just have some wisdom that you feel like you can share with people? There's somebody that's maybe given you an insight. Maybe you've been through a situation, a traumatic time in your life, and you see somebody else going through this time, and you've got some wisdom as to how to get through that thing, and you've got some insight, and you understand that there's some wisdom that you can give to this person. And how many of you have ever felt that you could go to somebody and really help them with some wisdom? Okay? And how many of you felt like you've never done it? You just hadn't done it because for whatever reason. Okay? You need to understand that's all the word of wisdom is. If you've got something that you can tell somebody that will help them through a time. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. You know something. You've been through something. You know how something works. If I have a problem with my car, I want somebody that knows something about that car to fix it. Guess who I'm going to ask? Somebody that knows something about the car. But if you know something and you see somebody going through a situation at a time, go to them if you know that they're going through it and say, hey, this is how you do it. That's the word of knowledge. These things aren't difficult. I want to take the spiritual spookiness out of it. This is how we edify the body of Christ. This is how we build it up. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and faith. Okay? From time to time, and maybe not every time, but sometimes, when you pray over people, they're healed. And you've got faith for healing. When people need healing, you need to pray for them. You've got a faith for that. But now, maybe your finances aren't really good. And they need prayer for their finances. Listen, don't go pray for them for their finances. You don't have faith for finances. Are you hearing me now? This isn't difficult. But you're a healthy person. And you know how to fight off the attacks of the enemy against your body. And you've got faith to do that. Well, then go put that on somebody. But if they got financial problems and you got financial problems, don't go put your hand on them. They don't need no more of that. This is simple, isn't it, Deland? It's not difficult. Faith. Healings. Okay, we just talked about that. Healings. You got healing. All right. How about you got prophecy? You can prophesy. Well, then prophesy. I just want to try to let you know I want you to release yourselves and encourage you to minister to the body of Christ. Discernment of spirits. You got discernment of spirits? Minister to people. And don't go up and say, man, you got snakes on you. You know, kind of talk to them and say, you know, I've been through some things like this. And, you know, somebody prayed for me one time and delivered me. Don't have to say you got a demon. George, is that what you say? You go around people saying, you got a demon? No. You go and you say, you know, I'm going to pray for you. There's a spirit that may be functioning here and oppressing you. Let me pray for you. And while you got your hand on them praying, you can start doing anything you want to then. Am I right? Isn't that the way it works? When you start praying and you step into that realm of prayer, they want prayer then. So pray for them and get the thing off of them. So that's tongues. How many of you, in our times of ministry here, in times of praising the Lord and worship, you just feel something bubbling up down here and you want to gush out a message in tongues, but you don't want to maybe do it because you don't know if it might not be interpreted. It might not be interpreted. And then they'll think, I really didn't have the message in tongues. I was just in my flesh. Anybody ever happened? That ever happened to anybody? See there? There? Listen, I promise you, I can seek God enough to get the answer, the message that will interpret those tongues. And there's other people here that will. Please bring it forth. I really want that to happen more in our church. I kind of feel like sometimes everybody's waiting on me to prophesy. Waiting on Judy to give somebody a word.
Don't do that. Please bring that message in tongues and let the others, even if you don't have the interpretation, at least let put it on somebody, because somebody else is sitting over there, well, I got the interpretation, but I'm not going to give it. Let them deal with themselves to the point that they will come to the point of maturity where they'll deliver a message in tongues that they can grow and that they can mature. By your not bringing that tongue is keeping somebody else from ministering in the message of interpretation, which will eventually evolve into prophecy. Before I ever learned to prophesy, I gave messages in tongues and interpreted tongues. And then I was able to prophesy. Do it. Do these things. Bring these gifts. I just want you to so much. People come in here, I want people to see the gifts of the Spirit function and operating properly. I don't want to see them out of order. I don't want them to come in here and see things done without order. There's an order that the gifts of the Spirit can function in. And that's what Paul talks about in 14. He says, let everything be done decently and in order. He says, and if you do it right, the sinners will come in and fall on their face and say, for a surety, God is among you. And that's what we want, isn't it? We want people to come in and see it done, but done correctly. Not leaving here and saying, well, those people are crazy. I was at a church about 5 years ago. We were still up the road, and we were having this seminar in Seattle. Not Seattle. Was it Seattle? Seattle, that I really wanted to go to. And so we went. I went. They took up an offering and sent me, and I went. And the church would come before the service and pray. Every service, they would come in and pray. The people would. And they would pray, and you would hear the people praying. And then it seemed like somebody pressed a button or an alarm went off. But anyway, that whole people would begin to sing in the Spirit. They would just begin to sing in tongues. And that whole Spirit entered in. That whole service entered in that realm and dimension of Spirit. What I want us to come into the place of is that when we come together here, in our times of praise, our times of worship, our time of prayer, the people sense, and that's what I sensed out there, I sensed the awesome presence of God. When people come in here, before the service even starts, I want people to sense the awesome presence of God. During the service, I want God to be dealing with their hearts. I want us to pray that as God begins to send sinners into here, that even before I minister the Word of God, their hearts will be so convicted that they'll want to run down here and make Jesus Christ their Lord and their Savior. Become a part of this where God really is among us, where God really is doing something. I really want us to come into that dimension of not just exuberant praise and charismatic worship. That's not just all there is to it. That's kind of like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Without a purpose, what good is it? You're just maybe doing some charismatic calisthenics. I don't know. Aerobics or whatever. Do they call it Tebow's aerobics or something sometimes? Anyway. That's all it is. If you don't understand what you're doing. What we do when you come into praise and worship is to bring down principalities and powers. It's to bring down strongholds in your life. Listen, you can't get up here and jump around and act like I do and have a lot of pride. It's a humbling, and that's tongues. These gifts will humble you if they're done right. And it's the way that God tells us to bless Him. It blesses Him, and how people enjoy coming here and into the praise and the worship. These people from down in Rome come here and they say, you guys, did they not say this? That y'all sound like Hosanna tapes. They said, it's like a Hosanna tape when we come here. I think that we're so used to things. You know, we've been here the whole time and we've seen it come into where it's at. But they, it's new to them. It's exciting to them. Tanya, you remember the first time you guys came? The excitement that you felt and stuff. And many of you do. I know that Gary and Carol, you probably do. And, you know, there's just an excitement. There's a thing that happens. And then you kind of get used to it. Well, I just really want to release us tonight. And let us know that God is really doing something here. And that we've matured into a place that I really believe that each one of you have a gift to give. And here's what I want to do tonight. I want all the young people to come up. I want to first of all pray over you. I think you young people are intimidated by us older folks sometimes. And I want to release you from intimidation. I want to release you sometimes. I was over here kneeling and praying. And little Kelly Jo walked over and prayed for me. Put her hand on me. Put her hand on me and prayed for me. How old is Kelly Jo? 5. Old enough not to know better, huh? Is that all right, though? How many of you want your children to be able to do that? Amen. Just go around. Come back there to Jim Kittle and pray for him. Go over here to Bonnie and pray for her. And what, she went to Elisa, did you say? And here they were going around, these young children. I want you to understand, something's happening. That's not of the world. I want all you young people come up here, from as big as walking to 19 years old. I want you up here. I want you to turn and face these people. I want you to turn and face them. Don't face me. Man. This is the future. This is the generation that we will be leaving our church to. Whatever that we have been blessed and privileged to accomplish at the church at Lafayette, these will be the ones that will be inheriting it. And they need to be released into ministry. They need to be released to grow in the things of God and to released to sometimes just come and pray for you and for me. And I want them to be released to do that. They're intimidated many times by us. They feel a lot of times they might have a word for you or for me, and they're reluctant to give it because they're children, they think. But these are men and women in young bodies. And that's what the church will be handing it over to. I want you to stand up, stretch your hands out. We're just going to release them and bless them into ministry. Father, we just ask you right now by your Spirit to do something. Lord, we know that oftentimes young people are intimidated by older people. And Lord, I just ask you right now that you'll just minister to these people. In the name of Jesus, I just ask you that you'll bless each one of them's life. Father, to the point that they can go forth and minister. Lord, I release them in this body as the pastor, as an elder of this fellowship. I release them to minister to the adults. From time to time, Father, you'll be giving them words. You said that from the mouths of babes and sucklings will come forth pure praise. And Father, I believe that in them are pure praise and a pureness and a desire to seek your face and your heart. And Lord God, I just release these people, these young people right now, to minister in this body. To minister not only to the young people, but even to the older people. Just to go and bless them. Just to go and bless them. We ask this in the name of Jesus, and I just want us all to speak in tongues over them. Solon In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we say it. And everybody in here says, amen. And so be it. Now, amen. Let's clap. That's right. Amen. All right. Now, I want Lance and Monty and Steve, and I want the Abernathys, not the Abernathys, but the Kittles, Angela and Angie, come up. And who else are your leaders? Barry is, Bonnie is, Jody. I want your leaders to come up here. You want the youth leaders come up here. All right, what they have done is they have designated these as youth leaders. We all know that Monty is the minister, the director of the children's ministry.